Hey guys, welcome to Blue Ink Talk. This is a podcast created by the team at Blue Ink Closing and Title in Madison, Alabama. We're creating this podcast to talk about real estate and growth in North Alabama. We want to give our listeners fun and educational information by having guest appearances from people in the real estate industry. Buckle up, because the sky is not the limit in the Rocket City, and we plan to explore it all. And opinions expressed by Blue Ink Talk are solely those of the host and guests and do not reflect the opinions of Blue Ink Closing and Title, LLC, and any of its affiliates. The content expressed should not be taken as legal advice and is for informational purposes only. If you do have legal questions, please contact a licensed attorney in your state. Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Blue Ink Talk. Make sure if you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating. This will help boost the podcast and maybe get more listeners. We're available right now on Apple Podcasts and Podbean, and coming soon to Spotify. Today on Blue Ink Talk, we're going to talk with Corey Gilmore, Realtors Corey Gilmore and Chanel Westbrook with CMG Real Estate Group at Capstone Realty. We're going to have a lot of fun things to talk about real estate related with you guys. But first, we're going to have a little segment called Hey Y'all with Catherine Robertson. Catherine?
Hey y'all, this is Catherine. I wanted to have a section to talk about kind of the new development, updatings, openings, kind of things that we've heard throughout the community or through social media, news outlets. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce here in Madison City, and so I've been going to a lot of different events with them and hearing a bunch of new and exciting things coming. So I thought it would be fun for us to kind of have a few little things here and there for you guys. So the first one I want to talk about is the football soccer team that's coming to Huntsville.
You're already embarrassing me, Catherine. Go ahead.
So they're going to be playing at Joe Hunt Park. The stadium is not ready yet. It's supposed to open in May of 2023, but they're going to have their first preseason home game at Joe Hunt Park on March 4th. So I don't know kind of where they are with the stadium. Hayes, you drive by every day.
Yeah, that's right. I drive by it every day. It looks like there's a lot of dirt still being moved. The windows and the suites still have not been put in yet, it doesn't look like. Tell me more about what's the name of the football team.
I can do that. So it's the Huntsville City FC, which stands for Football Club. And they've already got their logo. It's pretty cool. You can actually buy the tickets. And I don't know exactly how it works because it's a professional league, but it's not the main, you know, MLS league. But, you know, these are going to be really good players, and we're excited to have them in Huntsville. And so I think at least what I've seen, the stadium's going to be pretty cool. So we'll try to see it when it's ready to go.
Revamp of the old Stars. A minor league baseball team stadium, so looks like it's going to be maybe a multi-purpose field too, maybe, you know, facilitating college football games. And what team are they affiliated with? Are they affiliated with a MLS team?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure they're affiliated or connected with the Nashville Football Club, which is fairly new. I mean, it started within the last 5 or so years, and I think they're doing pretty well. But so I don't know how the connection's going to be, but I know that there's an affiliation with them.
Yeah, well, that's going to be fun to watch.
All I know is I have to take my stepdad to a game or three this year. It's going to happen. I already know he's a huge soccer fan. So
we'll get you all the merchandise then. I think it's on sale.
Is it? Did it do as well as the Trash Pandas? Because that was like the most record breaking of the world. logos and stuff. It was pretty crazy.
Such a crazy logo. And yeah, you're right. I think they set certain records for selling
most sales within a certain time frame. Mm-hmm.
We have to have somebody on to talk about that, maybe.
We have my friend Emma that works with the Trash Panda. She's going to be on later in the year with her brother that does. He does the dance segment that they have in between certain innings. So Taylor, he's a high school friend as well. So that should be fun. But okay, so the second topic I wanted to talk about is the Lanier Tea House that has opened in downtown Madison. I am so excited about this. I love anytime I can act a little bougie. And I went with Emily the other day to try it out, and it was really cool. They do three different teas, and they have different types of, they have a like savory, then they have like biscuits and crumpets, then they have, or scones, then they have a little dessert area. So it was really cool. And it's nice because you can make reservations. I don't really know if you can, I think you can walk in, but it's only from like 11 to 3 on certain days of the week. So,
yeah. I was wondering when you said you were so excited because you don't really like tea, but I love tea. So I really was excited just to have a chance to try different teas. And the thing I like about the place is you can try all the teas that they have for that month. So I've been to a few tea places where you have to pick one, which is fine. You pick whichever one sounds the best, and then you drink that the entire time. In this place, you start with, you know, what they recommend as their first tea, and then once you're done with that, you can try the next one. So by the time you're done with your afternoon tea, you've got to sample, you know, 3 or 4 different types.
What kind of teas did y'all have to drink specifically?
So the first one was a lavender Earl Grey. The second one was a peach lemon. And the third one was a cranberry orange. And they changed their menu also each month with their teas to complement each other. Hmm. So like you're with the taste palette and stuff, it goes together.
Yeah. And when we got there, you know, they try to have each tea correspond with each food course.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can eat whatever you want and drink whatever you want. They don't really care, but they try to pair them well, which is neat for anyone who's not familiar with tea.
All I'm saying is I've been dreaming about the sandwiches that they had.
Cucumber sandwiches.
The cucumber sandwiches. They were so good. They taste like my grandmother's cucumber sandwiches.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. So
the best part about this is I can drag Catherine to tea every month, and she thinks that it's for her, but it's really for me. So
like, it's for the Instagram story.
It's for the gram.
For the gram.
I just want tea. Yeah. That's all I could say.
Yeah. So next one I want to talk about is Hayes actually went to a HAR membership meeting the other day. HAR is the Huntsville Associate.
Huntsville Area Association of Realtors.
That's yes. Right. And they had the mayor of Huntsville, Tommy Battle, and Paul Finley, the mayor of Madison, on. And they were talking about kind of the developments of the roads here in Huntsville.
Yeah, one of their big concerns, I think, is addressing the traffic in Huntsville and Madison. No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. Significantly. So I think they're trying to look for that and other avenues, 565, to alleviate that. I know they're planning to address the intersection at 565 and the parkway, getting on to 565, adding an extra lane maybe to the on-ramp there. They also talked about adding a 4-lane from Winchester Road to Weatherly Road, I believe, which should be interesting to see how that plays out. And, yeah, that was one of the main concerns in addressing the meeting there. They also talked about the 2 P's, a major concern, pickleball and potholes in the surrounding area. So mayor,
those are the major concerns.
That's right, the two
right
P's
now.
Which I thought was pretty funny, but pickleball, the mayor of Madison was talking about how they're building pickleball courts here in Madison, and I think there's going to be a large amount of them available due to the demand. And of course, potholes, nobody likes potholes, but pickleballs course should be fun. So we might have to go check that out after they get that built. So It was great.
Have you ever played pickleball?
I haven't. I played like badminton and of course tennis. I know it's a combination maybe. But anyway, it'll be fun to see. I know it's a growing sport. I think it's like the number one growing like recreational sport in the U.S. I think so. It'll be fun to see those built.
I like tennis. I don't know about pickleball. We'll see.
I'm going to have to do a YouTube tutorial. I have no clue anything about pickleball, so we will see what happens there.
Yeah.
So, okay, the next one is Hayes kind of talking about your area again, is Hayes Farm in South Huntsville.
That's no relation to Hayes.
No relation to Hayes.
Unfortunately, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, they approved $1 million in homes and commercial developments, and they also approved a sports park to be put back there. So that's kind of cool. I know that it kind of had, they had paused it, had, I think, some people back out of doing stuff, and I guess it's kind of revamped and they're going again with it.
That's right, yeah, and Mayor Battle touched on that a little bit during his meeting. Or his talk this past week, how they put it on pause, but they're going through with the full development plan. So some commercial lots, I believe, of course, there's a ton of residential property back there. There's a lot of cool things like nature trails and greenways going through there. And there's also supposedly an infamous alligator back there called, close to the new Grissom High School, called the Grissom Gator. Is what I've been told. I haven't seen it, but I know that people have posted about it, and it is a thing. So,
does it actually exist? Have we seen pictures? Is this a Loch Ness monster sort of situation where it's just a blurry object?
Yeah, I think it exists. I believe the pictures that I've seen on Facebook of people reposting it. It looks real to me. It could just be a log or something, but yeah, it's. Pretty funny to see, and so it's exciting to see the development back there along with the Grissom Gator too.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw it over now to my neck of the woods. Athens, Alabama is getting a revamped farmers market, so they're going to be doing a bunch of updates and stuff, so I'm excited about this.
Where's the farmers market?
It's close to downtown. I don't know exactly which street, but it's pretty close. You can walk from the square to it, and I'm excited. We haven't gotten to take the kids yet there, so hopefully they'll maybe start working on it soon, or they're going to work on it maybe in the fall. I don't really know exactly when they're going to start, but to, you know, jazz it up, make it look a little bit better.
Yeah, it seems like farmers markets are really popular in this area, spring, summertime.
That's right.
I know there's a few in Huntsville and some in Madison, so it's kind of cool to be able to go and get local produce and fruit, things like that.
Yeah, you have to report back to us and let us know how it is.
Hey, if I can find eggs that are like cheaper than $8 at the grocery store, we will gladly go to the farmer's market for them. I will gladly do that. I wanted to say, too, if you're in Athens or kind of want to know more about Athens, I have a mom from daycare that has started a Facebook page called A Little Bit of Athens. And she posts about all the kind of new things that are happening, talks about new stores that have come in or that have been there for a while, places to eat, activities to do. So it's really cool. She keeps posting stuff. Her name's Claire, and she's super sweet. So
yeah, we'll check in periodically, and we can maybe share updates that she posts on our podcast.
Yeah, so... and then I wanted to ask you guys, as like a fun little thing to talk about, have you watched that 70s show?
Yeah, I used to love that show, watching it back, when was that, 10, 15 years ago?
15, something
years
like
ago?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool. I liked it. They have made a sequel to it, that 90s show, and I watched it the other day, and I'm bringing it up because, well, I guess, have you guys watched it yet?
No, so don't spoil it for me.
Okay.
I haven't either.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the first little part in episode one. They talk about Huntsville, Alabama, space camp. Eric wants to take his daughter, Leia, to space camp, which, you know, he was a huge Star Wars fan. And so it's kind of funny that we get, you know, talked about on random shows and stuff.
Yeah, I think space camp is fairly popular. I don't know if it is now, but I know growing up, I mean, it was nationally known, and I think they had a good crowd of kids that would go every summer or whenever they had it.
I think it still is. We were just looking at it a moment ago, and there's a wait list, too, so it must still be really popular.
Yeah, so, like, ages 9 through 11, I saw it was, like, $1,400 for you to do the whole, like, week stay, and then you can't get in, though, till, I want to say, September. It was waitlisted.
Yeah.
So it must still be really popular. I don't know if schools still go and do it, but it's pretty cool.
I don't know. I have friends who went. I never went. Did you guys go to space camp?
No. They cut funding for us, or we didn't do enough fundraising or something at my elementary school. I'm still a little bitter.
We took a trip there. I think it was fifth grade, but, of course, didn't do the actual space camp.
Oh, I go to the Space and Rocket Center all the time, but I never did the space camp, so we'll have to call them and see if they'll do an adult version. They might have
just
something like that, just for us, just for the podcast.
Oh, I say we go on a work retreat. We just, you know, load it up.
Team building.
Get in one of those things that will flip Hayes upside down.
Take your Dramamine, that's for sure.
All right, well, stay tuned. We'll see if we can sneak our way into space camp. I might be able to sneak in, honestly.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe we can get somebody on to talk about space camp.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Let's have a whole episode of space camp graduates. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Since we didn't get to go.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I've got for this month for now for the Hey Y'all update segment. Next, we're going to talk to Corey and Chanel.
All right, guys, today we have our first guest of Blue Ink Talk, Corey Gilmore and Chanel Westbrook from the CMG Real Estate Group at Capstone Realty. Welcome, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
All right.
Excited to be here.
We're excited to have y'all both here with us today. We're going to cover a few topics, discussing real estate matters and things kind of going on in the area. But yeah, thank y'all for coming in, and we'll get started. Before we get into those topics, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into real estate.
Yeah, sure. I'll start. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I'll start. So I'm actually originally from New Jersey. Well, kind of New Jersey, and I grew up in Atlanta as well, but mostly New Jersey. And I moved here back in 2012. I came down here for a job at Huntsville Hospital, working in sports medicine. I loved it. It was amazing. Loved everybody that I worked with. Loved the, just everything about our department was amazing. But I got to the point where I started asking some questions and realized that, you know, I was working at the hospital for a year, and I was making the same amount of money as some people that had been there for like 10, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And I've always had the entrepreneur spirit. You know, I was looking for upward mobility, trying to just expand, never being complacent. And that kind of like was very eye-opening. Like, man, I could be here for another 10, 15 years and there's no like promotion in like the, I guess, vision or in front of me. So I started had to do some soul searching, mainly like, okay, what am I going to do? Because I feel almost stuck. And obviously as an entrepreneur, anytime you feel stuck, you get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I just started doing some research. My stepmother is a realtor currently, even when I was a kid in New Jersey. And I just remember just asking her questions about real estate and kind of saying, you know what, maybe there's a pathway there at some point. And then I just, again, like I said, started doing research. I was like, okay, I want to do some real estate investing. And I actually thought about doing like wholesaling. And do y'all know what that is? Wholesaling?
What is it?
So long story, wholesaling is you're not a realtor, but you're just like working with investors, trying to find deals for investors, like almost like a matchmaker.
Yeah.
Then you would pay, basically get paid just a, I guess, a percentage of what the overage is of the deal you worked.
Okay. Yes.
So can you do that without like a license?
You have to do it without a license.
You have to do it without. Okay.
Yes, you have to do it without a license.
Okay.
You can't be a wholesaler and a realtor.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yep. So I sat down with one of my mentors, Kim Dornan, and told her my idea. I'm like, Kim, I want to do wholesaling. At the time, Kim was a realtor. Mm-hmm. She had been in the business for probably like 10 years at that point. Mm-hmm. She's like, Corey, you better not be a wholesaler. And she said, why don't you just get your real estate license? And I was like, you know what? My stepmom was a realtor. Why not? Let me just get my real estate license. This way I can learn about investing. Kind of see both sides of it, and so go for it. So literally I signed up online for real estate, for my real estate courses, and it took me 2 months to finish the course. I was like early in the morning, late at night, obviously working at Huntsville Hospital, and finished the course, passed the test the first time, started doing real estate, and then fell in love with it. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, forget wholesaling. I can invest later. Real estate is what I want to do. And the rest is history, so.
Yeah.
Huh. Sorry, I took a lot of time on that.
No, it's okay. We got time. So I used to run a restaurant, a fondue restaurant. And we decided, the two owners and I, decided after 10 years, I was there for maybe 8 of the 10 years, that we were going to retire. One moved to Africa, one retired and like started living his life. And I said, I think I would rather do something else than stay in the restaurant field. And I actually had tried to get my license. Like I did all this research years prior while I was a manager. And I never had time to do it, and I didn't know what I was doing, so I just kept pushing on the back burner, but it was always something I thought about. I don't even know where it came from, honestly. It was just something that I wanted to do, but never had time to do. And even as we prepared to close the restaurant, and I did like job interviews, I was like, I cannot do a boring, sit in a cubicle, sit at a desk, clock in, clock out, kind of job. Like I'm so used to like a customer relationship and building on all of that, that I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna go out in the world and do something basic. And I had this whole domino effect kind of situation where one of our customers, the Roysters, from my church, said we know someone, Diane Hasley, our broker, when I started, met her the day we closed. Sat down, she said, this is how you do it, take your class, let me know when you're done, we will be happy to have you. Same as Corey, did my class in maybe less than 2 months, actually. Literally just knocked it out. Was like, I need a job, like I gotta finish or I can't make money. And got licensed, spun around in circles not knowing what I was doing. Tried pretty hard. I mean, I was still hanging out with the broker a lot, and she was teaching me a lot. I just still was, I didn't know where to start. Ran into Corey. I had already met him once, but he was teaching a class on how to work with buyers. You know, our office is all about like giving you education. So I went and I was like, oh, I need this class. Sat down, I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. I need to talk to him, which is very, I'm not a question asker. Like, that's not me. But I was like, I need help. So I went to him after the class, and I said, hey, can I, like, pick your brain? He's like, yeah. Come to my model home back out in Burwell. In Harvest.
Burwell Gardens.
A throwback. And he was actually finishing the neighborhood. You didn't even have a model anymore. You were, in a trailer. He's like, come to my trailer. I was like, okay.
You live in a trailer?
I was like, that's weird.
It's really good business. Live in a trailer.
We sat down, and he was like, what are your goals? Like, how much money do you want to make? How much do you want to work? And I was like, I don't know. I just want to make at least what I was making as a manager. And he was like, okay, okay. I have an idea. You don't know me. This is going to sound crazy. Come back in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to propose something to you. And we decided to team up.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were the first non-related, non-couple team at Capstone.
Yep.
To start a group, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time flies.
Time is flying.
Well, I want to know, like, you mentioned the group and the teams mm-hmm. within the real estate brokerage. Yeah. So, like, what is that? We see that a lot, and it sounds like they're usually husband and wife teams
right.
or groups or whatever, mm-hmm. family groups. I don't know how it works. So mm-hmm. what is that as far as yeah. how it relates to the big picture?
Yeah, so teams have in real estate have been around probably a long time, just not really in the Southeast area. If you go out west to like California, Arizona, Las Vegas, mm-hmm. like that's all they know our team. So mm-hmm. I actually went to a Zillow conference. This is before I even thought about starting a team.
Yeah.
I went with a colleague at the time. And we get out there to the conference, and the number one question everyone asks you is, what's the name of your real estate team? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have a team. I'm an independent
just
agent.
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
My brokerage is Capstone.
Like, right.
What does that mean? So just start asking them a question, like, what's this team's name? What is this about? And really the biggest answer was, you know, real estate can be a very lonely career, right? Because it's just you don't work with people. Obviously you work with people, but you don't work alongside of people.
Yeah.
only in a transaction. So you and the other agent, and you know, you're only contacting that other agent if you're trying to get paperwork signed or trying to schedule inspections, but it's really just you.
Yeah.
So the idea of a team is mostly where agents can come together and really just help each other do real estate more efficiently, hold each other accountable to their goals, and just, again, not be lonely in the business. Really, when I came back from that conference, I talked to Diane, our broker at the time, about, hey, you know, we were out west, this Teams thing seems really interesting. I'm actually very intrigued about starting the team one day.
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
does that look like? And Diane's always a wealth of wisdom. She just pointed me to some books, some podcasts to kind of, you know, learn more about the team structure, pros and cons to it. And again, the rest is just history.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Chanel, you manage this team, correct?
Yes, I do now.
She's the
I've
boss.
Been promoted to team lead. So I am the day-to-day person. I talk yep. to, we have about 9 people total
yeah.
on our team. And like you said, it's more so about accountability. I'm not a babysitter. I'm not a mean boss. I'm more of a accountability partner, someone to answer questions, be available, and just, like you said, not make it so lonely. Because really, half the time, we end up talking about stories and things
deals.
That, you know, a lot yeah. of it is yeah. experience that helps you get through.
Right.
And so hearing like, oh, you had a situation like this, and you got through it, and you didn't quit.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference for
and when you're a new agent coming into this business, you know, there's so much you don't know. Like, you learn a lot mm-hmm. of things in real estate school.
No, you don't. You really yeah. don't learn yeah. any. You learn how to not get sued.
Sued, there you go.
That's what yeah. they teach you. They teach yes. you the legalities of
right.
the, everything.
But the day-to-day things that come up within each deal is, it can be very foreign for a new agent.
Yeah.
And you know, me coming into the business, but luckily I had great mentors and great brokerage firm that, you know, was available for questions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not common, right? Because
yeah.
real estate,
mm-hmm.
again, everybody's super protective of their clients and they don't want to share
yeah.
information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, being an agent, a new agent, it's intimidating picking up that phone if you have a question
yeah.
about
no,
a,
I'm sure.
a deal. You know what I mean? Because you don't
yeah.
know who to trust. You don't know, like, are they just feeding me information that, you know, is just not going to be good or
genuine.
Genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you're part of a team, you have like that team lead that you can pick up the phone at 8:30 at night and have a question without
literally
feeling.
I was talking to someone last night at 8:30.
Yeah, that's a great resource to have.
Yeah. I think that's cool. Like the, just the support.
Support.
And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the big part of it is you know that you sort of have allies, mm-hmm. you know, that are working
absolutely.
Towards the same goal as you.
Yeah.
But also you, I think the nice thing is you can also be individually successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so if there's somebody on your team who wants to just get out there and sell a million houses, great.
Right.
Yep.
If you, I imagine if you got someone who's like, well, you know, I'm,
absolutely.
I've got 800 kids,
yeah.
I have
yeah.
this, I want to sell this many, but I don't
right.
want to be the number one in the
sure.
country.
And that's unique
yeah.
about our team because mm-hmm. we tell everybody on our team, like, hey,
you set your goals.
You don't
yeah.
we don't tell you have to sell
yeah.
an X amount of houses per month. Like, you tell us like what you want your goals to be, and we'll create a path and a plan forward to help you get there and hold you accountable to what you told us. So,
yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Yeah, that is. Thank y'all for providing that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. great background. With that, we'll jump into our first topic here today. We want to ask, what is your perfect client and maybe your ideal situation? You know, you want to tell the parties involved looking to get into a closing or purchase a home or sell a home, your ideal client, ideal situation of who you like to work with.
Absolutely. So us, our really one of our core values is education. We love to educate our clients on the entire process. So our ideal client is, or I guess you said perfect, right?
Either or.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Our ideal client is going to be that person that really wants information. Like that person mm-hmm. that says, you know, yes, I did some research on the home buying or home selling process, but I need help. Like mm-hmm. I don't,
yeah.
all this mm-hmm. verbiage, I don't understand, like all this lingo. Can you help me? And that's really where us as a team, we thrive
mm-hmm.
because we want to sit down with people and educate them on the home buying and home selling process. And it's so cool to, you know, be sitting in a consultation and you're explaining, you know, how all of this works. And you see that like aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh yes, I get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just for us. It's more just, it's that gratification that, man, this person came to us and asked us these questions, like really lost in how to navigate their you know, real estate goals.
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
were able to sit down with them and really point them in the right direction. And again, for them to have that aha moment, like, okay, I understand what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not so intimidated about buying or selling my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we talked about that I think it was Monday, we had a team meeting and we were just talking about how when we have those meetings with our clients, you are usually breaking like some generational curse that they feel they're under, that they couldn't buy a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are tons of people who genuinely believe that's not attainable for them.
Right.
And they're searching online thinking, okay, I've been rejected this many times, let me see if I can figure it out. And for them to trust us and sit down, be like, okay, I'm gonna listen, see what they have to say. Maybe they won't reject me. And then we're able to help them have that aha moment of,
mm-hmm.
oh, this is attainable.
Yep.
And they're gonna help me get there and connect me to the right resources, lenders, and all of that great
That's
stuff.
Right.
So.
Yep.
And y'all both know a lot of, like you said, lenders and work with a lot of people involved in the whole real estate
mm-hmm.
industry.
Yeah.
So you're able to point them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Anything they really,
absolutely.
Questions they may have.
We know the best closing attorneys.
Yeah.
I got to plug Blue Ink title.
I think that's how, you know, when we think about who we work with, you do want that combination of people who want to be educated a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they also, they want you to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want them to just disappear on you. You know, they
right.
say, hey, find me a house.
Right.
And then you
yeah.
can't get in touch with them to sort of
mm-hmm.
get the information you need.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's working together.
Yeah.
Collaborating to find
yes.
what they want.
Absolutely.
But then also, I think letting you guys, you know, show them and guide them
mm-hmm.
and trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like that's
a lot
the
of trust.
Yeah, yep. exactly.
Through a ton of previous transactions, we all Y'all built him up over the years, that's for sure.
We've seen it all.
Yes. Yeah. He definitely has. And then when we joined together, we've had some scenarios where he's been like, I've never encountered this, Chanel. How did we get here? Yeah. And how do we get out of this?
Yeah, how do we get out of this?
Most of the time that she calling us and asking too.
Yeah. I've definitely called them and been like, so... say
hypothetically.
Well, that's a part of being, you know, a real estate agent. We always say we don't know all of the answers, but we know the people that will have those answers. Awesome closing attorneys. Right. We may not know the answer, but we know the people that will have those answers.
Yeah. And we always try to collaborate with people who are also trying to educate. So that's like one of our principles as a team. So the people that we're recommending are on that same path. We don't want someone to call the lender and the lender doesn't want to explain anything to them, just wants to send them a pre-approval letter and go about their merry way. So everyone we work with, including you guys, are like, hey, like, I'll explain all of this and hold your hand through the process, because it's scary.
Yep.
You're buying a house.
Or selling it.
Yeah. Or selling. Yeah. Either way is big. Absolutely. It's one of the biggest purchases and sells of your life, so.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that, you know, y'all are tremendous resources for people guiding them along that process. So.
Absolutely.
With that, we'll move on to topic number two, which is earnest money.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what exactly maybe earnest money is, and then we'll kind of go into the details a little bit further. So.
Yeah. So earnest money is a fancy word for deposit, right? You know, anytime you are saying you're going to buy something, you need to have some sort of like collateral or some sort of, you know, you have some skin in the game.
Yeah.
To show that, hey, I'm serious about buying this home.
Yeah.
And that's what earnest money is. In our market, you know, there isn't a specific amount that you have to bring for earnest money, but there is recommendations, you know, to make sure that your offer as a buyer, you're letting the seller know that you are serious about buying the house. And that, we always tell our clients, you know, with earnest money, be prepared to give about 1% of the purchase price. So for example, if you're buying a $300,000 house, your earnest money is going to be about $3,000. But don't freak out, because if you don't have that, that's okay. Don't let that stop you. You can do as little as $500 earnest money. You can, very common, a lot of people do with $1,000 earnest money.
Yeah.
That's right.
But really, it's just, like I said, it's just a deposit showing that you are serious about buying this house and you're not going to just go under contract and back out of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a good thing to know, especially for buyers looking to get serious about putting an offer in and knowing that. So your office, too, offers a new resource for earnest money. You know, I know a lot of younger people might not like checks or have a check on them, so there's a resource there at y'all's office that they can kind of go around that through with technology that y'all provide.
Absolutely. Well, Chanel tells her clients, bring the check, right?
Yeah, we have one at Capstone. I think it's called Earnest. I've actually never used it in 4 years. Well, we didn't have it all 4 years, but... I've never used it. I would if I had someone in a bind, like it's a resource.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a little hardcore. I, you know, like we said, we do consultations with our clients before we start, you know, running around searching for the perfect home, so they know what they need for the process. So they know there's an earnest money deposit happening. Mm-hmm. If I have someone out of town, comes into town, I'm like, bring your checkbook, bring it with you, because if we're writing an offer tonight, you might as well give me the check and basically tell them, I won't give this to my office until the offer is accepted, and then it goes in.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then if not, it'll go back. I'll just give it back to you. And so that way they just know things are going to start running smoothly from the moment we get signatures.
Yep.
And then we have those weird people.
It's not weird. I don't carry checks. I'm old enough.
I have a checkbook, which so it makes no sense to me that
I don't have a checkbook, but am
we're the same age.
So
you have a checkbook.
I think of the earnest as like, I think we said like Venmo kind of.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of process.
I'm not a Venmo girl. It took me years to get
You're an old soul, Dan.
I'm an old soul.
So, to answer your question, so at our office, we have a system called Earnest. It's super easy. It's almost like Venmo. Mm-hmm. You basically can use your debit card online, and it will basically just transfer the money from your bank account to the brokerage's escrow account. Now, there is a fee of only like $15 for using the system, but typically we just cover it for our clients. We'll just eat it within our commission.
Yeah.
Or they'll just tag it onto our dues. But it is a good feature, especially if like you have that. I've had it in some instances where that out-of-town buyer comes in, they forget their check. And we gotta make this offer, you know, it's a Saturday. They're not going to be home until Monday. Mm-hmm. We got to ratify that deal before you leave. Yeah. So, hey, you know, you don't have a checkbook, that's fine. You don't like money orders, that's fine. Hey, I'm going to send you a link. You type in your debit card numbers. Literally super easy. Mm-hmm. It transfers to a secure account, to our brokerage's escrow account. And we can move forward with the deal.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a good option for people who like technology.
Yes.
I'll say that. Because it's really 50-50. There's some people who really do not want to type any information on a computer.
That's very true. Yeah.
And then there's other people who are like, I don't have a checkbook.
I don't have my checkbook.
I don't even know what a money order is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you guys are very good because you, like you said, you have that consultation. So you're preparing your clients. So, Chanel, you're telling them, have a checkbook or be prepared. But, you know, I just imagine how many, you know, agents out there who are not as good, anywhere near as good as you guys, and they don't tell their clients that. And so they're at their house and, you know, they're just like, well, I don't have a check. I didn't know I was supposed to have it with me.
Yeah.
So you guys are probably, I mean, I would say unique in that with that education aspect. You know, Chanel, you're like, have a checkbook or be prepared in some way.
Knowing that this is the next step that you want to get.
So having that other option is really cool if, you know, it's a situation where, like you said, they like technology, or for agents who, you know, maybe aren't as good about being upfront with their clients on what they're going to need when they want to truly enter into a contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, like you said, Chanel, a good option that y'all provide along with checks and being able to work with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
I have a checkbook, but I'm also old. So, again.
I have a checkbook. It just sits in my desk drawer at home.
I mean, I don't carry it around.
Yeah,
well, I'm just saying I pull it out when I know I need it.
Oh, I carry mine around. It's in my wallet.
You shouldn't do that. Someone can still get a check and write out money to my house. That's why you don't carry it.
Mine is in my safe at home.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll pull it out like...
I don't even know our safe code.
Like, I was going to say,
Chanel's the person that is in the grocery line. And the line's down. And she pulls out the check.
Oh, no. My current Visa is a tap and pay. So I'm actually on the times.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Nice. I used to do that back in college.
And so. I have Apple Pay too. Like, I'm not an old lady.
All right, I'm making sure.
Like, I just also have a checkbook.
Well, no, I'm scared somebody's going to steal my checkbook.
You should be.
I was just kidding. I don't have a checkbook
in
my wallet.
I should have said that on the air.
Darn.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to put it in my safe now.
That's what normal people do.
You say. Have you ever, like, quote-unquote, balanced a checkbook?
I don't do it now, but I learned how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom. made me learn how to do it.
I learned that in home economics.
Really?
Ninth grade?
Yeah.
I did too.
Back in the day.
Really? Yeah. I was wondering what that extra page was.
I couldn't tell you how to do it now.
It's wasting paper.
Yeah, you skip those and move on.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome. All right. Let's move on to topic number 3, which is Buc-ee's in Athens.
So unrelated.
So we really want to talk about the growth, you know, obviously here in Huntsville and obviously in Athens and Limestone County as well. And so the incredible Buc-ee's, I guess you'd call it a gas station. It's more like a Walmart.
It is a gas station.
They sell gas, right?
Convenience store experience.
You guys need to be on their marketing team. I just want to say, y'all can't see right now, But we have a bunch of Bucky snacks.
I brought them all kinds of sandwiches and
because we
snacks.
Haven't made the trip yet.
When Bucky's I didn't know what Bucky's was, but when it came to town, it was all over my social media feed.
Yes.
And it was annoying me. And I'm like, I am not going to Bucky's.
Just same. Everybody's talking about it. I made that same note. I was like, I'm not doing this.
But listen,
this trendy thing.
But listen, I just tasted a Bucky's.
Brisket.
Pulled pork.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, I am going to Bucky's.
He literally finished it.
Bucky's is.
Yeah.
It's going to be his new spot when he's driving around all day.
Yeah. So you have to go, though, on a weekend at like noon because that's when it's a true zoo.
God,
there are people everywhere. You have to experience. It's an experience. It's crazy.
For Chanel, you want to go on a Tuesday at about 5:45.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you can be in and out.
It's still going to be crowded.
I was going to say.
It'll be somewhat crowded.
Maybe 10 a.m.
People
are at school.
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
And I'm just browsing with my little shopping cart.
Yeah. So I will say I pass it every morning on the way to work.
She stops there a lot, too.
I do stop. I get my gas. They have cheap gas.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like it's, you know, overpriced or anything. But they do, it's not very busy during the, like, morning time when I do stop. So, and they have breakfast, too.
That's what we should have got.
Yeah.
I love a good biscuit.
Yeah.
You brought us biscuits.
I
expect a biscuit at my next closing.
Next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Okay. But I will say the bathrooms are the selling point.
No, that is not that is what they sell themselves on. If you go on their website, they pride themselves on cheap ice, which it is cheap. It's $1. It's $1 for a small, and then it's $1.99 for a bag.
What is it?
It's the chips.
In the store they have the nugget ice.
Oh, the good,
like the good ice.
Noted.
Anyway,
and
get
then,
back to the bathroom.
And then they do cheap ice, but then they pride themselves on bathrooms. And if you have to go to the bathroom when you stop at Bucky's too, because it's very clean.
It's very clean. There's a lot of stalls.
And
there's walls. So you have a little privacy. I mean, I don't know what you're doing, you know, but. Privacy, and they are very clean.
That is genius marketing because where Bucky's is located, it's located right off the interstate. So all these travelers, they're like, man, I have to go to the bathroom, but who wants to stop at a nasty gas station?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what first comes to their mind is Bucky's. Let me go to Bucky's. Bucky's has really good bathrooms, and now. They got you in there to pee, right?
Yeah.
With all this great food, so
you're
gonna not
buy
after
it.
You pee, you're going to buy
a
brisket.
Whether you want it or not.
And you walk through the, instead, you know, they put their bathrooms where you have to walk through the merchandise to get to it.
Genius
I
marketing.
I mean, the marketing there, when you go in there, you're going to see everything is branded Bucky's.
Right. It has the Bucky logo on it.
That's genius.
So for anybody that doesn't know, Bucky's is a chain of gas station, super center, based out of Texas.
Super center, that's a good word.
Yeah, and it's humongous. I couldn't get over the amount of gas pumps. It has to be at least 100 pumps out there in the Athens store. So it's exciting. I went a couple weeks ago, experienced it on a Saturday night. Catherine, you'd be happy. Went about 7 o'clock, and it was. You saw we had to go get gas, top off our gas tank, just get a parking spot. It was so full.
Wow.
And there's a statue of Bucky himself out there. You can get a picture with him.
Bucky the Beaver.
Anyway, if you're looking for something to do, get out and do. Go check it out. We're not sponsored yet by Bucky.
Soon, though.
Sponsor this podcast.
I think that's a good signal of growth, though.
It is.
A great signal
because there's lots of things that we want, and apparently somebody wanted a Bucky's.
Well, not just Huntsville. Athens, Bucky's is located in the Athens area, which is right outside.
Which is I count it all together.
But the girl, it just shows like the growth of Athens, Alabama is phenomenal because if Bucky's can move to
area
of Athens, you know that there's probably a lot of growth. So.
Yeah, I think that company they're very strategic about where they build. Mm-hmm. You know, these are obviously expensive gas stations to build. And so they're pretty strategic about it. So that has to tell you something that, you know, there's ones near major cities. You know, there's one down at the beach in Alabama. There's one near Atlanta. So for it to be, again, in Athens, that's got to show you something about, you know, what this company in Texas thinks about this area.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say, too, I live in Athens, and it is growing like crazy. Yes. There are houses being built everywhere. And I know you guys have Legacy Homes yep. as a subdivision. Y'all are just popping them up in there left
yeah.
and right.
Yeah, absolutely. So the subdivision, just for context, I also am the sales manager for Legacy Homes, which is a local builder here in the North Alabama area. And we have a subdivision called Boardwalk, which is located, it's probably like 5 to 7 minutes
close.
From
yes,
Bucky's.
Yes, it is.
Shout out Katie Eubanks.
Katie Eubanks, we love you. But yeah, Boardwalk is, like I said, it's a very unique subdivision for Athens. It's more of like a, you know, subdivision where you don't have a lot of maintenance. The mm-hmm. yards are a little bit smaller.
I love the design of the houses, though.
The house designs.
They don't look like the typical
right.
house. And yeah. I feel like it's cool for Athens.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks so yeah. just, like, mm-hmm. modern.
And the cool thing about Boardwalk, you know, which, again, kind of alludes to the whole idea of Bucky's, Boardwalk is going to be more of like a work-live community. Where, you know, they're going to have, like, retail, and I think there's going to be a really awesome park there. They're going to have, like, restaurants, shop, where you do shopping, which,
oh, wow.
again, almost like if you guys are familiar with, like, the Village of Providence feel.
Yeah.
Boardwalk will be that. But it's just, again, it's an attestment to, you know, Athens is growing in a way where, you know, no longer people are just moving there for, you know, just farmland, right?
Yeah.
There's like young professionals that want to live in Athens that don't want to have to drive to, you know, downtown Huntsville to have a good time or to shop and eat at good restaurants. Yeah. So all this stuff is kind of flocking to Athens because there's just a market for it.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Great little downtown area too. It seems like it's growing, but a lot going on in Athens.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. All right, guys, we'll finish up here. Last little part. It's called Did That Really Happen?
Yes.
We'll ask if y'all have like a funny story, real estate related, closing or whatever you want to share is fine, but did that really happen?
So I've got a really interesting story. I was probably about a year and a half into my real estate career, and I was showing a house to a first-time home buyer, and we walked into the house. House was in a great location. I mean, it was priced pretty decently, but we walk into this house, and we're like, what is that smell? Like, it just had a very distinct smell. I just couldn't put it wasn't like it was like garbage or like like, you know, like a dog or anything like that, but it was just very distinct where you could just really notice it. But we kind of just blew it off, like, well, you know, the house is empty, maybe it's just, you know, just kind of like that stale smell. Kind of, you know, like I said, just kind of brushed it off. My buyer ends up wanting to make an offer on it, so we make the offer, go under contract, and again, we were just like, you know, every time we would, you know, go back, he would want to go back and kind of visit the house, place furniture.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that every time I go back, that smell, what is it? So finally, we, you know, got our home inspection. The inspector calls me that night and says, Corey, you know, this house, I don't know how to tell you this, but this house here, I believe is a meth house.
Yes. What?
And I'm like, what? And I'm from New Jersey. Meth is not.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly I'm Googling meth. But what he pointed out was, I was like, how do you know? And he was like, I didn't obviously mention the smell to him, but he said, you know that when you, if you go to the house, do you notice that smell? I was like, yeah, we couldn't figure out what that was. He's like, okay, that was one telltale sign, but really the other things were all of the doorknobs, like the hinges, the light fixtures, were all rusted, like completely rusted.
Huh.
And we just thought that, I mean, the house wasn't new, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's just an older house, but he says that the smell and everything pretty much being rusted was a telltale sign that this used to be a meth house.
Okay.
Yes. And I, now again, I'm only a year and a half in real estate, and I'm like, what did I get myself into? I'm in the South. That's probably maybe, you know, I hadn't sold many houses at that point, but I literally, you know, got my buyer under contract on a meth house. So, of course.
Yeah.
Inspector doesn't, he doesn't call the buyer, he calls me. So I have to make this phone call to my buyer to tell him that you're under contract on a previous meth house. Luckily, he was a cool buyer. He just said, well, how do we get out of it? He's got kids.
Yeah.
And long story short, we ended up getting him out of the contract. He got his earnest money back, which is great.
Yeah.
But
because that's not always the case with earnest money.
Yeah.
But let's just say, from then on, I always check the hinges. I always check the light fixtures.
Yeah.
The
take smells. A big whiff.
Yes.
When you walk in to smell. But well, now you know that smell, I guess, so you can identify it.
Yeah.
Is being a former meth house on its own a reason to get out of the contract? Or was there something else that allowed you to get out of the contract?
Yeah, so there was a fireplace, basically. It was super rotted out. Like, the fireplace was super rotted out inside of it, and it was going to cost thousands of dollars to repair. So we just kind of used that as an excuse.
Because
we honestly knew the fireplace was a little, you know, a little shaky, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once we found out it was a meth house, we just kind of were like, yeah, let's just use that fireplace as an excuse to get out of the deal.
Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah. Huh. Chanel, do you have anything to add?
I have a similar story that came to me, and I really forgot about it. It just happened last year. Do you remember this?
The house that burned down?
Well, that was part of the story. I'm not going to tell. The story has a lot of parts, and I'm only going to tell one part to just not... you know, tell too much about my buyer or my sellers, all the things. But this was a second house, because there was a fire on the one that my buyer tried to buy first.
And the house burned down.
The house, the house is gone.
They closed.
Yeah.
Which was, that's a whole other story, but, you know, write your contracts well and, explain everything. Because if I had wrote the contract differently and not explained the different ways it could go, she would have owned that house already.
Yeah.
Long story short, and thankfully she did not. Yeah. And so when that happened, all she lost was the house she wanted, not all of her money and having to go through insurance. So the second house we found, loved it. She's like so excited. We did the inspection, and we actually waited a little longer than normal to do the termite inspection for some reason. And we have a transaction coordinator, Julie. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
They know Julie. Julie calls them all the time.
Jules.
And a lot of times our different people, contractors that we work with, will hit up her first to just, like, let them know something so that we'll find out by the end of the day. And so I just get this random text with a picture from Julie after the termite inspection. She's like, termites are good, but they found this. It was under the house. I don't think he's looking at me. He doesn't know what happened.
What happened?
The termite inspector went under the crawl space, and there was, like, a bed. And...
Oh, my God.
And, like, a heater, like, a little toilet paper or something else.
Just the essentials.
Yeah. And so, honestly, Julie was like, do you think that the sellers know that this is there, or, like this is theirs? Or do you, and I was like, I don't know. I was like, but I'm going to call their agent first to make sure, like, if that's theirs, they just get rid of it. But if not, like, they go lock up their crawl space because someone's been hanging out there. But the weird thing was that we had an inspection and the inspector went in there and it wasn't there.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, this had happened in this small window of time.
Right.
And so we're really grateful that we didn't do the termite when we did the inspection because they wouldn't have caught it.
Yeah.
Right.
So afterwards, they, like, boarded up and locked their crawl space, like a code and everything. Like, you can't get in unless you have it.
Wow. Somebody was living in the car. Yeah. That's really
bold. I guess.
Maybe they saw like the for sale sign.
Yes, which happens.
And knew it was, maybe it wasn't occupied, so they said, hey, even if it's for 2 or 3 weeks,
I've
got somewhere
to sleep. They have like a public yard sale. So I was like, maybe what happened was someone knew this house was vacant, which we talk about all the time with our team about being safe with vacant, I mean any house, but vacant houses especially. If it's shown online as vacant, like no furniture, that means everyone knows that it's vacant.
Yeah. So true.
You just have to choose when you're going to show it and like be very aware of your surroundings in a vacant house.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so.
Could you imagine showing, like going to the showing and like you're in the backyard and like this
person
is like outside of the crawl space?
Of toilet paper.
Yeah. I can't imagine it. I mean, when I got that picture, I remember like, what did you just send me, Julie? She was like, this is in the crawl space. I was like, what? She's like, what do we do?
That's pretty crazy.
The most PG story I can tell, because the rest are too crazy.
Good. Thank y'all for sharing those stories. Real estate is a lot of little details go into it, and it's good to know. We've got two realtors out there like yourselves that will help people and anything, even if you know they encounter somebody in the crawl space.
We're actually 9 people total.
Nine people.
There's not just 2 of us.
Yeah,
we're all one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have the whole team in here one day.
That'll be a wild.
Catherine, can we fit podcast. Everybody?
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna make it work.
We're family. We can squeeze in.
Yeah.
More microphones in here too.
No, I'm
joking.
No more microphones.
We appreciate y'all having us. This is fun.
Just one of our regular conversations, really.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that we liked having the idea of you guys being some of our first guests, because we talk like this regularly.
Yes.
So it's not a situation where we have to manufacture a conversation.
No doubt.
Because we talked on our first episode, we've never done a podcast.
Right.
We don't know how to make a podcast. So
sure.
I think having friends to start is making it a lot more fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gotta have friends in everything you do or it's not fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
How can people get in touch with y'all?
Yeah, so you can visit our website at www.cmg-realestate.com. But if you wanted to contact us personally, my direct cell phone number is 256-808-5522, and it's Corey@cmg-realestategroup.com. That's my email address.
So much information.
Sorry.
go to the website and click my
picture. There's some website there's some callers and texters. I wanted to give it all to them.
That's dedication that you give them your cell number too.
Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah.
And his
always
phone's right there in his hand. Like he's ready.
So, Chanel, they can just find you at Bucky's.
They need you. Find Corey. They'll find Corey there because he really liked that sandwich. No. Just insert my name in front of the email instead of his.
Yep.
That's my email.
Okay.
And then my phone number is 256-203-5761. So I'll respond
if
you hit me up.
All right, guys. Well, thank y'all so much for coming today. Until next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.